Welcome to another inspirational message from Gateway North Church based out of Winnipeg, Canada. Your Sunday sermon, any day of the week.
Across the globe, many, many churches are spending this month in prayer and fasting. And isn't it amazing that we can join together with the larger body of Christ? Amen. My ministry that I work for is called Church Renewal, and we're involved in, I think it's 58 countries. And most of those countries, the churches we're connected with, are praying and fasting this month. And I think that's a Holy Spirit thing. God wants us to set the foundation right at the beginning of the year. And I want to ask a question at the start here. Are we willing to let God disrupt us? Can he disrupt our normal patterns? And for those who have families, I know it can be chaotic when you have kids in the home. Would you allow God to disrupt your family patterns and rhythms for the sake of knowing God more? In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, I love this verse and it challenges me. It says, "Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity." God's call on our lives is to get maturity, to increase in maturity. And that doesn't matter our age. Whether we're 20 or we're in our mid-40s or we're in our 60s or we're in our 80s, he calls us forward. And prayer is one of the most wonderful things in that we can always grow in prayer. The last day we have on earth here will be a day that we can still grow in prayer. And that's what I love about it. Now, when I think about prayer, I have all kinds of emotions, and I'm sure you have experienced these. First of all, there's excitement. We get to go to God. There is an open way we can go boldly to him. Amen? When I look at my life and what I've done and my imperfections, and I think I can go to him boldly and you can go to him boldly, I'm like, wow. I hope you haven't lost the awe of that. And then there's joy. The answered prayers. I have long lists of answered prayers. When I think back at what God has done, you'll hear some of my story of prayer later on. I have such joy. And then there's hope for answers still to come. Amen? I'd imagine every single one of us here this morning has deep things in their heart that they want to see answered. And we have hope and we have faith that God cares about those things. Now, you may also have discouragement at times with prayer or doubt. I call discouragement and doubt close friends. Sometimes we wonder why God hasn't answered prayer. Who's had that experience before? Let's show our hands. You just wonder, where is God in this? So I wanted to acknowledge that this morning, that sometimes we experience that. And then there's curiosity and hunger. What might God do? So this morning I'm gonna pivot around three specific verses on prayer and three principles. And my prayer, as Peter articulated before, is that we would commit to prayer in a new and higher place. So Luke 11:9 we're gonna start with, and I love this passage. The context in Luke 11, Jesus is talking to his disciples and bless them for asking a great question. Teach us to pray, Jesus. And if you were to read Luke 11, you'd see what Jesus says in response, and part of that is the Lord's Prayer. But I want to point out one part here in his response. In Luke 11:9, it says, "So I say to you," Jesus is responding, "ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you," why don't you help me here? "Seek and you will" what? "Find." "Knock and the door will be." Jesus not only taught them how to pray, he also was teaching them to anticipate that their Father would hear them. There is never a prayer we say that the Father doesn't hear. What a motivation to pray. And then in verse 10, Jesus doubles down. He elaborates. He then says, "For everyone who asks receives, The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Everyone, can you say that with me? Everyone. Principle number one I wanted to pass on this morning. In prayer, we encounter the extravagant generosity of God. In prayer, we don't have to wonder whether he's generous. I want you to think about the most generous person you know. Maybe you have a name that comes to your mind. I mean, we know lots, as a couple, we know lots of generous people. And they inspire us. But whoever is the most generous person you know pales in comparison to our Heavenly Father. He is far more generous than any generous person. Any generosity that a human would show is simply a faint echo of the generosity of God. So that's why, brother and sister, he wants to hear from you. He desires to hear from you. And he desires to hear from us in an unfiltered way. I mean, I've been reading the Psalms lately in my devotions. I do a psalm a day. And I just keep underlining. I call out to God. I cry out to God. God hears me. And David, especially when he doesn't sense he's being heard, does he give up? No. He says, God, why aren't you answering my prayer? What audacity. But that audacity is not based on because David's anything special. It's because he knows how generous his Father is. God demonstrated this to me early as a Christian. I got saved at the age of 21. And I really believe one of the first things God will reinforce in the life of a new believer is this very point, how generous he is. So as a new believer, I was working in a ministry for a while. And I'm not going to say what the ministry is. I'm leaving it vague for a reason. But I had just started working there. I was a newer Christian. And all of a sudden, one day, somebody came up to me. One of the other staff said, we need you to help with someone. One of the people we're working with, we think they're demon-possessed. And I was like, what? Like, I mean, I got saved. I was on fire. I mean, I was reading my Bible. I knew demon possession was a real thing. I'd been reading biographies. And so, but I didn't expect to actually encounter this. So I remember saying to the person, I said, why are you asking me to handle it? Well, because of your role here. That's kind of your job. And I'm like, I don't remember that in my job description. So then I grabbed somebody else and I said, let's go like meet with this person. And sure enough, right at that time that we, you know, went to that person who was struggling, at that very moment, they were manifesting a demon. And I tell you, I was so intimidated. I was like, nobody had told me what to do. Like, I mean, again, I'd read books and that. But I remember at that moment what the Holy Spirit whispered into my heart to encourage me. It wasn't some kind of formula of how to cast out a demon. I had this thought. I will hear your prayer, Chris. It was God reestablishing that he would hear, taking my eyes off the intimidation and getting my eyes on God. So I said to the person beside me, I said, well, we should pray. Yeah, we should pray. And so we began to pray that nothing was happening, but I couldn't stop thinking about God is hearing our prayer. And he loves this person that is struggling. So we kept praying, and then all of a sudden, a second thought entered my mind as we prayed and we called out to God. The thought was to sing a song over this person. I mean, inside I laughed. I thought, I seriously am one of the worst singers in the world, I'm convinced. You might think, oh, you're being too hard on yourself. I asked my family, can you confirm that? Yes, okay, they're confirming it. I thought, really? And I said to the other person, and they couldn't sing well either. We would often, people would move away from us when we would sing together in our ministry because they couldn't concentrate. But I remember, again, this thought that God wanted to work. God was there. He wanted to hear. So we began to sing that song, and within 30 seconds, that demon left the person, and they were free. I was in nothing special. I was a newer Christian. And I actually look back, and then I think, well, look at God. He uses something I'm terrible in to answer that prayer. Because he's so generous. It's not about our abilities. So when you feel weak in prayer, don't be discouraged. Don't worry about feeling inadequate. He hears. He's generous. Another story. When my wife and I got married, I had just graduated from university. And we had, like, basically no money. I mean, it was bad enough. When we could afford no-name spaghetti sauce to put on the no-name spaghetti, I was excited. And so we were, and then God, you know, I was supposed to start a job, a good job, and then suddenly God called me into full-time ministry. And so right after getting married, no money, I'm heading back to school for a master's degree, for a seminary degree. And the first day of school, I'm sitting in a class, and we were sharing prayer requests, and the student beside me shared that they didn't have money for textbooks in that class. And right away, the Holy Spirit prompted me, I want you and your wife to pay for her textbooks. I thought, okay, this already Carolyn has been so gracious in blessing me to go back to school when we have basically no money. She was raising support for a ministry position, so she didn't have a steady income. And now I'm going to ask her on my first day of school, we can barely afford textbooks. I'm going to ask her if we can give $250 to another student. But I thought, well, I need to obey God. So I went home and I told her what had happened. She said, yeah, sure, no problem. And I remember before I gave it to that student, I spent a moment in prayer in the seminary there. There was a little quiet area. And I said, God, you have to provide something. I mean, we've got the money here, but you're going to have to show us that you're going to take care of us. It was a simple childlike prayer. Within 7 days, two independent sources gave us $250 each. God doubled the amount to show his generosity. Now, again, it's not a formula. I mean, we give now, but we're better off financially now. I don't expect double back every time. I mean, sometimes it would be nice if you always got double back. But the point was God was showing his generosity. So church, I want to encourage you as you engage with this season of prayer to start at that place of recognizing you have a Father who wants to hear from you. And he will be generous. Amen? Secondly, 1 John 5:14. It says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now that's connected to his generosity, but I want to elaborate on that. I mentioned as a young Christian, God showed me how generous he was. But I needed to learn a little bit more too. I ended up dating a Christian for the first time in that season, early in the season. This was before I had met Carolyn. I mean, I was, again, brand new Christian. I wanted to do things God's way. And I was convinced. I thought, this has God's blessing all over it. Because, I mean, I'm making a godly choice in my mind. Within a few months, in my mind, I thought, I probably am going to marry her. I was fairly confident of that. I mean, why wouldn't she want to marry me, was my thought, to be honest. I thought it just had to be. And then out of nowhere, at least from my perspective, she dumped me. I was mad. I remember I lived with my aunt at the time, and I remember pacing in the basement and telling God he didn't know what he was doing. Didn't he know I was trying to equally yoke? Didn't he know that? I was confused. But I was also something else at that time. I was dumb. I knew God was generous. I knew that I mattered to him. But I needed to mature beyond me-centered, prideful prayers. I thought I knew what I needed. I was using my human reasoning. I had to wrestle with this question, and I came face to face with God on this question in that basement, my aunt's basement. And this question was this, would I submit to God's will? You know, any parents would understand this. You want to be generous to your kids. Josh and I got together for coffee yesterday. I mean, I wanted to pay for his coffee. Totally wanted to pay for his coffee. It's a natural thing as a parent. Our Father, Heavenly Father's like that too. But we also know in a human parenting, and no different with God, that ultimately it's meant to be a relationship, a two-way interaction. And I needed to learn in prayer that it wasn't just about me coming up with my ideas of what I needed, but it was about centering around the will of God. James 4:3 says something interesting. I pastored for 18 years in a church, a large church in Steinbach, and one of the most frustrating areas that people experienced was their finances. They wondered, God, where was God in their finances? James 4:3 addresses a potential issue. It says, when you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Principle number two, the will of God is where we find answered prayer. So again, I see a wonderful balance here in the Spirit. God is so generous. He's saying to us, ask. He hears you. But he's also saying he desires to be not only just a generous father, but he also desires to be Lord in a very real way. And that lordship means that we're going to seek out his will. We're going to try to understand what he desires to do. I mean, when that first Christian girlfriend broke up with me, God knew he had a better plan. He had someone else in mind that would be a much better fit for what he was calling me to. It's just unbelievable, his wisdom. Amen? But it's a test of us on whether we'll be patient in prayer, whether we believe the wisdom of God. I was impatient as a new believer. I mean, it's so foolish marching around that basement. God, what are you? You don't know what you're doing, God. Now I've learned to let my words be fewer and to let him reveal his will. Something we need to recognize here in North America, and I think it's true in many places, but especially in North America, is we've been infected by the world in our desires. Sometimes we're off. You know, sometimes when you're using Google Maps, it'll tell you that it's not calibrated properly. You just get a little bit off. And I mean, I've gotten so upset at Google Maps sometimes, like when it's telling me my phone's not calibrated and it says you should do some kind of figure eight to recalibrate. I never know what to do. I just sometimes I'm in my car and I'm like, I just put my phone aside. But we get kind of mixed up too sometimes. We're like, oh, I'm convinced this is the will of God. And the reason we get mixed up is because we need cleanups. We've been so infected. For example, think of finances. I often share this in messages. The New Testament teaches that we are to work to meet our needs, and then after our needs have been met, we are to meet the needs of others, not our wants. But living in this world, we get that all mixed up. And so when we go to prayer, we wonder why we're not sensing God's will, and it's often because we need some recalibrating happening. And that's where fasting is wonderful. To set aside all that other noise and that to recalibrate, to find out the will of God. And there's much at stake here because when we get answered prayer, that's where we find joy. One of the quickest ways to joy is to know that God has answered our prayer. Amen? But it has to be specific prayers. But you can't sense the specific will of God without recalibrating. God's word is clear about that. A final verse, Jeremiah 33:3. Not a final verse, but the final one that's a key point here. Jeremiah 33:3. Many of you know this. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Isn't it amazing when somebody, you know, comes alongside of us and says, I need to tell you a secret. I mean, you feel special, don't you? Now in Jeremiah 33, the context, Israel is actually in great trouble at that time in their history. They're actually under God's discipline. And the discipline's going to continue. Jeremiah has made that clear. God has made it clear through Jeremiah. They're actually in a desperate situation. And yet, God's speaking to them and he's saying, yes, you're being disciplined now, but I will restore you. He's giving them promises about restoration to come. That's our generous God. But then there's this invitation from God. I want to tell you what you do not know. I want to give you insights into what's going to happen. God's saying, I want to show you my heart for you as a nation. And this takes us to principle three. God invites us to deep friendship. Not simply once in a while praying, but a deep friendship. I think sometimes we make a mistake, and I understand why. I've done it. We tend to emphasize the friendship we have with God upon salvation, and certainly there's an element of that. But the emphasis of the New Testament isn't on friendship upon salvation, but friendship upon walking with God in a close relationship. God wants us to be able to enter a place where we don't have to be in the dark about everything that is happening in our lives or in the world. We won't know everything. We're not God. But he wants to show us many, many things. In John 15:15, this is what he said, Jesus said, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. Again, what a generous God, amen? Now, I want to point out something here. The ones Jesus is speaking to there aren't just any random person who said they believe in Jesus. These are people who have left things to follow him. We can't enter deep friendship without leaving some things. But it's totally worth it, brothers and sisters. At the beginning of the pandemic, I know I shouldn't mention that word. But it's part of our history, right? I preached a sermon here in Manitoba at a church, actually one connected with Salt and Light. And I felt led to title the message this, What in the World is Happening? And it was right at the beginning of the pandemic. And I felt so awkward about the title. I thought, who am I to know what's happening with this pandemic? But the thing is, I know one who knows what was going on. And I thought the church at that time needed some orientation about how to process what was happening. So I prayed. I said, Lord, what is happening? I didn't want to just speak my thoughts. So I shared with the church there on what I sensed God saying about what he was up to in the midst of the pandemic. And I look back at that message now, and I marvel at the accuracy of what God had said. And I say this to God's glory, not my own. I'm nothing special. That's the kind of relationship he desires with all of us. Do you wonder about inflation and where that's going to end or what it's going to end at? What about political stuff? What about what's going on in the U.S.? The U.S. as a country is rapidly weakening. I don't know if you knew this, but that kind of affects Canada. Do you wonder about those things? I hear about other places in the world. And you might think, I'm afraid. I mean, one of the questions somebody asked me this week, should you even have children in a world like this? All I know is I know one who is able to tell us the right things. Again, he won't give us all the details, but he'll give us everything we need. Again, a generous parent will always prepare their children. Is that not true? They don't withhold information. Now, some kids would say, well, I wish they would sometimes withhold a little bit of information. But God wants to tell us what's happening and what will happen in our personal lives, but also corporately. In Daniel 2:22, this is what Daniel says. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. God would love for us to encounter more regularly him in that kind of relationship, a deep friendship. He invites us to that. So I want to close with this, just by focusing on the word of invite for a second. I want you to imagine that you're waiting for a very special event, and you've been told that you're going to get an invitation in the mail. And you're waiting and you're waiting. But the problem is, in your mail, there's not just good mail, but there's also a lot of junk mail. Now, there's not as much junk mail nowadays, but there's still quite a bit. So don't you imagine, you're waiting for this invite, and you just, but the problem is, you get your mail, and it's just a huge pile of stuff, And let's just say you don't keep your table very neat and tidy, and I'm not sure anybody here is like that, but you just toss the mail onto the table with all the other stuff that's on the table. And let's just add four or five kids in there and the busyness that comes to the home. It'd be very likely that you would miss that invitation. That you maybe after a number of months, all of a sudden we should clean up the table and all the mail. And you're going through the mail and then you see the invitation there. And then you look at the date and you say, oh no, we missed it. That'd be devastating. And I think that one of the things the Holy Spirit is saying to us as we begin this new year is, will you not miss the invitation? Will you be alert to when he wants to talk to you and when he wants to reveal things? This is my encouragement. Let's reduce the amount of screen time. The media, again, there's good stuff. I mean, I like news headlines. They become prayer points. But I tell you, when there's too much of that coming in, I can't hear the voice of God. I can't hear the voice of God. I miss signals. I miss the invites. Families, I want to encourage you. It's important that kids are involved in all kinds of things, like I think, you know, physical activity and that. But the issue is, if we give them over to all the activities, then we're giving themselves over to the world, not to our Father. And I know it's not easy knowing what to do or not do, but I feel that we need to recognize this. Our kids' joy, peace, and success is attached to them knowing God. And I'm gonna state a fear I had as a young parent. The fear was this. I'm just going to state clearly what I feared in my heart. If I don't let them enjoy the world at least enough, they might not want God. Like, in other words, kind of hedging my bets. Like, if they can have some of God, but maybe if they do enough activities, they'll still have fun there. But I had to learn something as a young parent. I had to learn that God is sufficient. If they encounter God in authentic relationship and prayer, he is enough. And he will sanctify those other activities then, if they know him. So I want to challenge families in this month of prayer and fasting to find a way to engage with God in prayer.
Thank you for tuning in to the Gateway North podcast. We hope you've been challenged and inspired from God's word. To find out more about Gateway Church, head to gatewaywinnipeg.com.